Welcome to Sugar House Journal podcast number 4. I'm Nelson Cole.
And I'm Ivor Luffing. And we're heading down to the Riverwalk Trail, which is just down below our house. And we're going to take the gem car and go to the other end of it. Let's go.
So what's a gem car, Ivor?
A gem car is a little car that is made by Global Electric Motors, which is actually was a division of Chrysler. And the Chrysler Corporation owned it, but they had to sell it because it was making money.
That sounds complicated. Are we having some technical
difficulties? We're having a little technical difficulties. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But let me just give the gem car just a second. And then we're going to start her up. And hopefully she'll go. Hang on just a second. Got to figure something out. You know what I think it is?
What?
Duh. We're still plugged in.
Oh, we're still plugged in. Ivor is getting out of the gem car. He's going into the front where the car is actually plugged in. He's unplugging his yellow extension cord.
The gem car won't go if it's plugged in.
And he has to move the kitty cat out of the bag. So we're getting all of this live for Sugar House Journal fans.
The cat always seems to be in the way. All right. Now we're moving.
Okay.
We ought to put on our seatbelts.
So that's a protective thing that you can't drive the gem car.
With it, without the if you haven't unplugged it, forget it. It ain't going nowhere.
So last week we drove the Chevy Volt, which is electric with a gas-powered generator in there to charge the batteries. This is all electric. It's all batteries, right?
Yes, it's all batteries. It doesn't go super fast. It goes about 25 miles an hour. And it's a little small car that you can drive around your town. And it gets about, costs about a penny a mile to drive it. So if it was gas, which it isn't, it's electric, it would be the equivalent of getting 200 miles per gallon.
Wow. How long have you had this car, Ivor?
We've had this one for about 2-3 years, and we really enjoy it because it's easy. You just hop on in and go if you have remembered to unplug it. Anyway, you just hop in and go, and it takes you where you need to go.
Where are we going?
We're going to the beginning of the Riverwalk Trail, which is a little trail that goes down below our house, and it's just been fixed up. It's all been paved, and there are all sorts of neat attractions on this trail. So families have been using this trail like mad. We have groups of families come and park and walk around here every day. It's a wonderful place to go.
It's quite spectacular. The people that may not know Skowhegan, it's very beautiful. The Kennebec comes right through it, and this is kind of like the Kennebec to Skowhegan Gorge, right? It's a pretty steep area, valley type of thing where the river comes down through. In the path winds right alongside the river, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful path. It goes along the river, and it runs about a third of a mile in downtown Skowhegan on the south side of the river. And it runs right to actually a walking bridge that'll take you right across, and then you can walk into downtown. So it's a very useful little path because you can take a nice walk and then end up in downtown Skowhegan.
Well, why don't we get out of the gem car and go down to the side of the street?
Let's do it.
Riverside.
It's the Kennebec River, the mighty Kennebec.
We are getting out of the gem car.
The gem car.
And we can maybe hear, let's be quiet for a second, see if we can hear the mighty Kennebec Rapids. No, you can't really hear much right now.
No, but as you walk up the gorge, it gets louder and louder because the real rapids part of the gorge is closer up by our house, underneath our house. So you can hear the rapids flowing on the Kennebec here. And there are all sorts of neat little exercise machine stations. Here's one right here. They're green and cream color, and they're pretty sturdy. And people, here's a place where 4 people can use and can exercise. It's kind of a little thing where you push with your body weight, and you can 4 people can exercise at once.
So it's pretty good. You've got a pathway. Individuals or families can walk, and there's also little exercise stations.
Yeah, and kids love that because, you know, just taking a walk is not enough for a kid. They actually have to burn off extra energy also. So I come down here and kind of do a little exercise on the path all the time. I have to come down here. I come down here with my dog and my cat and take a little walk along here. And you can see, Nelson, it's a gorgeous day, huh?
Oh, it's gorgeous. And this is all, we're walking on a path. It's about 6 or 7 feet wide, right? It's all really smooth asphalt.
Yeah, I'd give it like 8 feet wide, and then it has nice grass around it, and it was all leveled out and fixed up by the Army Corps of Engineers last summer.
Right. We've got tall trees above us. It's a very sunny day.
Yeah, we have a bunch of white pines on our right here, and on the left is a mixed forest of maples and ashes and poplars and everything. And here's the this is the dirt bike trail that they just put in.
Oh, cool.
This is for kids to do dirt biking. They can do, you know, any kind of those little bikes. They go zooming along here, and there's all sorts of little bridges that tip up and down, so they go over those, and, you know, all sorts of different ways to, you know, really get that energy out if you're a kid.
And right now we're kind of in the woods, about 20 or 30 feet off the asphalt path proper.
Yeah.
On the dirt bike trail through woods, and there's like a little, almost like a little pond.
That's a vernal pool, actually, and that is full of all sorts of creatures, including wood frogs. It has peepers, and then at a certain point, there's one that's near here that actually has fairy shrimp, which is a rare creature around here. But to be a vernal pool, it has to dry up in the middle of the summer completely. It has to go completely dry, because otherwise there'd be fish in there, and the fish would gobble up all the amphibians that are in there.
Hmm. Now, was that something built by the Army Corps of Engineers, or has this always been here?
This has always been here, but I think this maybe was caused when they built the road down there. But it's a really nice little vernal pool. It continues on a long way, and it has quite a few creatures in there. About 10 years ago, we did a study for the Audubon Society, and we had to, like, look in there and see different creatures. And one time I was sitting there staring into the pond, and one of my students came along, and I tried to interest him in checking it out, but he thought it was weird. So anyway, hi.
It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's very nice, don't you think?
A man out walking his lab, it looks like.
His dog. That's my dog's favorite friend.
That's excellent. So we're still going on through this path through the woods.
Yeah.
So what is the big deal about this?
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Gray squirrel. See, if my dog had been here, she would have gone nuts. Anyway, what's the big deal about
this whole development?
Well, this is kind of neat. I mean, okay, it was done with, you know, the stimulus fund, so people freak out, but I think it's really improved our neighborhood. And it also, you know, you're talking about healthy Maine and, you know, people exercising. Well, this makes it really fun to exercise. And we've just come upon a dead mole. We'll try to kick it out of the trail here. Poor beast. Yeah. So anyway.
Poor beastie.
This trail is probably, you know, it's a great way for people to get out and exercise. And people of all ages. There are people of all ages walking down here. So it's a great thing for our neighborhood, but it's a great thing for people who live around here. Way to get out. And it's used all year. In fact, I used it for cross-country skiing this winter, and a lot of other people did. But also, I noticed people would be walking on here all winter long. And we're coming out into a little more open area, and you can see these banked turns for the bike ride here. We'll go down and check it out. They built, out of pressure-treated lumber, they built kind of little bridges and little bank turns for people to go whipping around on their bikes.
So why is this good for a community like Skowhegan and all this?
Well, you know, everybody needs to get a little exercise, but also it's kind of like, you know, if you think about it, all the money usually goes to the bigger urban areas further away.
Right.
And we're just seen as a source of raw materials. But if we get to have things like this, we feel more like we're part of the whole game, you know, the game also.
Right.
We don't just feel like District 12. Here's now we're going through some sort of rocky areas. And they really did some earthwork toward the end of this trail here. They really put some serious time into some earthwork, but most of this here is just natural forest trail. Here's a tippy bridge thing. I don't know what the actual name of it is, but kids come up a little hill and then come down on it, and it's a big...
It's got almost like a seesaw, except it's got...
Yeah, it's a big seesaw, and notice, if I push it down, it stays in this position, stays down till I leave, and then it tips back up again. Right. So kids can kind of come zooming across this, tip it down, and then it'll tip back up again.
Oh.
It's really fun for kiddos. I think it's been great because our neighborhood, we really have seen an improvement in the people that are here now. It's almost like you feel in some kind of, you live like in some sort of a resort area.
Well, I noticed when I was driving up today, just how many people were around, and I thought, gee, why are there so many people? Somebody having a big party, but it was all people just coming up, parking across the street, and coming down onto the path.
The Riverwalk has become almost kind of a destination. It's one of those things that people want to come and check out and hike along and walk along and, you know, who knows, maybe bring their dirt bikes or something.
Right.
Really fun. I'm kicking this log out of the trail there. So we're going to continue walking along here. So it's become kind of a real neat thing for people to do. And I was thinking, you know, those of us who live here and work here, you know, this has been a really nice thing for us, you know. Right. Not much is done for Skowhegan, Maine, you know, but now all of a sudden we have this. And there's a long, maybe 2x10 that's on a plank, and then it comes up to a kind of a
ramp
thing.
And this is for motorbikes still?
Not motorbikes, no motorized. This is all bicycles.
Okay.
There's no motorized equipment allowed in here.
All mountain bikes. Beautiful.
Those little dirt bikey things, you know?
And this is all, we're on a dirt path here.
Yeah.
It's like more gravel, but they look like they've built up for mountain biking.
Yeah, this is for mountain biking. I'm sorry if I said dirt bike like that would be a motorized thing. No, they're all non-motorized. Now, what we have here is four lumps, one after the next,
Almost like speed bumps.
Yeah, like giant speed bumps. So you come flying along here and you go over the one, over the next, over the next, over the next.
Right.
Really fun for kids on bikes. I can tell this is the most used part of the park.
Right.
Part of the bike park. Kind of go up and down and up and down. It's kind of fun.
And again, we're still only, you know, 15, 20 feet away from the asphalt path.
Yeah, and they made some really neat features over here, which are giant bank turns made out of dirt. So they kind of whip along these bank turns. Looks like occasionally they fly over the bank turn. And then they have another one over here, so it's kind of a big figure eight course all made out of packed dirt. Well, it's packed gravelly dirt.
Right. So what do you think about investing money, like the stimulus money and other things and community things, versus it seems like over the last few decades there's been a move towards like gated communities or something like that. This is for the community, for everybody in Skowhegan. I think it's great. What do you think?
I think this is a great way to spend the money. I mean, this is something that benefits the actual people who really live here. Instead of benefiting some abstract group of people, this benefits kids and people who live here. People of all ages, really, that live here in Skowhegan. Mm. You don't have to be a millionaire and live behind some gated community or some kind of crazy thing. This is something that benefits everybody right here. And it's a beautiful thing, I think.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's got so much for the mountain bike kids who want to ride their bikes, but it's also got a nice path for that anybody with babies or elderly could walk along.
Oh, yeah.
The nice asphalt pack, and then just a little bit down over the banking is the beautiful river.
Well, we notice there are people pushing baby carriages here all the time. Probably, you know, 5 or 10 an hour.
Right.
Pushing baby carriages, and there's everybody, the whole family comes out and uses this. So it's been a really fun thing for the town, and it's been a really fun thing actually for us, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking of selling my house here, but now that they've done this, it makes it kind of nice.
So we're going back up onto the asphalt
path. We're back on the well-trodden path. As they say, what Rudyard Kipling said, just 10 yards off the well-traveled path and you're in wilderness, right? The world is wild and strange.
We're picking up a little bit of wind here.
Yes. Speaking of wild and strange.
Well, let's go down and see if we can't get some more sound of the river down here.
Yeah, we're looking down through a hemlock forest now, down toward the river. And you can hear the river, and now it's rushing quite a bit more. This is the Kennebec. And this is, the Kennebec Gorge is actually not that old. It's only been about 10,000 years. that the Kennebec broke out of the Belgrade area and broke through this present channel and is now going bust down through here. So that's the reason you have these steep sides here. If it had another million years or something to lay itself down a better course, this would be much more gradual.
Well, let's see if we can hear some of that river. Very nice, and just very beautiful. You can look through all these hemlock trees, you know, all the sun-dappled trees, and then you've got the river, you know, rolling behind with all the white water and stuff. It's gorgeous.
It's really fun. I actually took a canoe down here one time, and it was a wild ride, I'm telling you.
I bet. Maybe a kayak.
Yeah, even at the kayak, it's a wild ride, I'll tell you.
Well, maybe that'll be a future episode of Sugar House Journal. We'll take a...
Maybe.
A kayak trip.
It may not be so good for the recorder, Nelson.
No, it won't. So we're heading back to the gym car.
And I hadn't been on this section here. It looks like they just put in three new benches in down here, which is great. Kind of a good place to meditate.
Right. No, this is wonderful.
These benches here, I was wondering what these little turnouts were for. And now, since the last couple of weeks, they put in these benches. They're really heavy-duty benches. They're made out of plastic with a really heavy-duty metal holding them together. So I think they'll hold up this in this spot. And I noticed people are using them.
So, yeah, they just installed the benches. They seem to... they're still finishing this up. When did they start again?
Oh, they started last summer. But these just got finished, but this was the last bit here.
Walking over to the benches.
They look recycled. They're kind of made out of recycled plastic.
All season.
Yeah, they're very heavy duty. They aren't going to go anywhere. And this is the perfect spot for meditating. You got the hemlocks again, and you've got the river down below. I think I'm going to come here and kind of zen out every day.
Instead of walking back to the car, we'll just sit here.
Yeah, we'll call it good from here.
Yeah. I think this is an important thing for communities. I think this is... not only will it just make people happier, I think it'll give people more faith in government, or just more appreciation of what government can do, and a better connection to the community.
Well, I think so. I mean, change is always threatening in Maine, and there were a lot of people who felt like this was an imposition, this trail, but now that it's been here a little bit, people like it a lot better, especially in this neighborhood.
Hmm.
I think that we're gonna end up with a very nice thing here. It's good for everybody, all ages, and I really like sitting here right now. I'll tell you what, it's 65 degrees, there's a very slight wind blowing, sun, and the river is flowing at our feet here.
Hmm. I think it's absolutely beautiful. It's a little too windy for our microphone, but...
If it wasn't so windy, it would be perfect.
But it's a nice cooling breeze. Now, this is nice. I mean, this is a wonderful use of government money, you know?
Yeah,
people
I
can get
agree.
Out and appreciate nature, they can get exercise.
Yeah, and not much is spent on the average person anymore. So this is a good use of, I think it's a good use of our funds, of our common funds. I'd much rather have it doing this than, you know, one bomb raining down on wherever it is we're at war with this week.
Right. So we can talk a little bit about the gem cars. We sit here beside the beautiful river. Yours is all battery. There's no gas at all in that, right?
No gas. It's all electric. And it was owned by the Chrysler Corporation when we bought it.
Right.
And now it's owned by Polaris Industries. So I'm hoping that pretty soon the Polaris company will have it at every one of their distributorships.
So it's a good neighborhood vehicle. You can't take it, you know, over... 25 miles an hour, so you have to, it's basically a neighborhood vehicle, right?
Yeah, you can't take it out of town. You can't take it on a high-speed road. It has a, it doesn't have any airbags or anything, but it's pretty safe because it has kind of a roll bar construction.
Right.
It has seat belts. It's a neat little thing, but it's not designed to go on fast roads.
For that, you can get the Chevy Volt that we drove last week. And there's also, of course, the Nissan Leaf, which is all battery-powered, about 100-mile range. And there's also the Ford Focus Electric, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen the Ford Focus Electric yet, but I hear it is coming out very soon.
Maybe we can do a road test on that when it finally comes out.
Yeah, let's see when it hits Skowhegan. We'll give it a try here. we're kind of comparing different things. So, you know, now we will have compared two or three electric cars. I heard that the amount that people spend, the United States spend on gas in one day is like $8 billion, which would be enough to fund a whole infrastructure of charging stations for the electric cars we've just been talking about.
Yeah, although both the electric cars that we tried out already have it an infrastructure of charging stations, because you can just plug them in anywhere.
Right.
You just plug it in the Volt or the GEM car that we were just driving around in. You can plug them in anywhere you want. You know, if you can get to your aunt's house or something, you can plug it in her garage.
But you can't do that with the Nissan Leaf. You have to have a special station or something. But
yeah, unfortunately.
But just the amount of stuff that, you know, $8 billion, you know, we spend in, you know, in foreign entanglements in just a day or so,
yeah.
Or a few days, we could dramatically improve. I mean, right here, we're just, I don't know how much this costs. That'd be interesting to find out. But I think it's awfully good money spent. Just this Riverwalk.
This cost about $500,000, and the reason what it didn't cost as much was because the Army Corps of Engineers were the ones that were here doing it, and they spent their summer, you know, the National Guards of a lot of places in Maine came here and spent their summer working on this project. So I think that was a good use of both funds and also of the time that they spent. And I have to say, they did a fantastic job, and I commend them mightily, and I think it's an awesome thing for the town and for the area, really.
Why are you bringing up Horatio Alger?
I don't know. I just think about Horatio Alger, you know, the Horatio Alger story and the whole thing.
What about him?
Well, he was always believed in, what was it, strive and succeed, which I kind of like. The whole idea that if you, you know, work hard and play by the rules, as Clinton would say, you know, those people are going to get ahead, you know. I don't know. I just read a Horatio Alger story last night, and I really enjoyed it. I also read Charles Clark Munn, and he's kind of a Horatio Alger, but he writes a lot about Maine. I like them because I've decided I don't really like any literature written past about 1900 or 1910, because all of a sudden we got into, you know, it was so much more fun before we got into all this crap that we're into here. I think it was before we became decadent as a society, you know? So I prefer to sort of live in that world where it was before we all became decadent and jaded and things.
So basically you don't like modernism?
I think modernism, I mean, I think it's run its course now, so, you know, what the heck, we might look back at it fondly, you know? But I don't know, I'm just having a fun time sort of living in the 1900s with some of the literature I've been reading lately. You know, it's sort of modern enough so that it's readable, and yet not so modern that it's annoying, you know?
So we're back here at the homestead now. You just have to plug in the GEM car again.
Yeah, you always have to plug it in, which is not a big thing, unless you forget it. But anyway, it's not a big deal. Every time you get out, you just remember, you just stick the plug in there, and you're ready, good to go again. It's a wonderful way to go. It makes it super easy. You never have to remember to go get gas. You don't have to deal with anything. And it's incredibly cheap. It's like a penny a mile.
So you've got two solar hot water panels on your roof, right?
Yeah, we have two about 4 feet by 8 foot, or bigger actually, solar panels on the roof, and a little photovoltaic panel up above them. And what that does is it spins the pumps, and they make about, oh, between half or two-thirds of the hot water that we use. They really like a sunny day like today. They make lots of hot water, which is a good thing because we have a teenager, and he likes to take long showers.
So basically what you have is they just take glycol down from the basement, right, and it
yep.
brings it up to here. It gets heated by the panels, and it goes down to the hot water tank, right?
Yeah, the glycol comes up and goes around a loop in these panels and gets heated up, and then it goes down into the basement and it transfers to regular hot water. And that supplants water that we would have used the gas hot water heater to heat up. So it really saves the money.
So you do have some trees around here, but right now you're getting still a whole lot of sun on those, and that heats the water plenty fine, right?
Oh yeah, it does a really nice job. The water can get up to, I don't know what it is, 140, 150 degrees, which is pretty nice. It's nice and warm. And the glycol keeps it from boiling or freezing.
And so it's something that we just leave up there. I never even hardly think about it. But then all of a sudden in the spring, I begin to realize, oh, my gosh, it's running. You know, you can hear it running in the basement, and you realize that you're getting free hot water. And we did it about 8 or 9 years ago, and we got some credits back from the Baldacci administration when they were, you know, the main state government. We got about $1,200, $1,500 back from them for a $5,000 or $6,000 system. So I think it's basically paid for itself already.
And you've also got a small solar photovoltaic solar panel.
Yeah, we have a small, just a little 75-watt electric panel. And what that does, that PV panel, is it just makes enough electricity. We have backup lights. In other words, lights so that you can get around the house. And they're LED on all three levels, so you can get around the house. Then we also have plug-ins where you can charge your cell phone, and we also have a radio running off it, and we can run a CD player off of it. So if the electricity goes off, we're fine. We can listen to music, we can charge our cell phones, and we can get around the house, no problem. And then, of course, the other thing that we have as a backup is we have wood heat, and I have a wood lot with a friend of mine, which is actually where the Sugar House is, mm-hmm. in Sugar House Journal.
Lovely.
Yes, and so we cut wood up there, and we use it to heat our house here. And I built a little wood temple, I call it, or a woodshed in the front. It's a solar woodshed. It dries the wood out very nicely. And I know that it works because I left some wood at the Sugar House, and it was kind of in a shady, swampy area. And the stuff kind of rotted away. So we brought it up here to the wood temple, and it dried out really quickly. Like within 3 months, it was dry as a bone and ready to burn.
So this is something that anybody could do to cut down on the use of fossil fuels, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, even if you have to buy wood, it's a huge savings over buying expensive imported oil. It's a huge savings. We buy about 300 gallons a year, and that costs us over $1,000 last winter. So this winter will probably be more than that again. I mean, you know, who knows what it'll be. But if we didn't do that, it would make it a lot more expensive to get through the winter.
So these are the things that anybody can do. Hot water, solar panels, you know, a photovoltaic panel to charge cell phones and stuff, wood heat, and a little gem car.
Yeah, I think everybody could do this, and almost all the little improvements we've made around here, all the things we've done have paid for themselves and have been awfully fun. So if your hobby is something like this, you save yourself money, but you also save the planet and, you know, save our little middle-class existence.